This is the opening kickoff on the country's first FM all-sports radio station, 105.5 FM WNSP and WNSP.com. The latest sports, news, traffic, weather, and timely guests with Mark Heim and Lee Shermanian. The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
All right, welcome in, 7:05. So I got another accent for you. What about James Van Der Beek in Varsity Blues? I don't want your life.
Steel Magnolias. There's some rough ones in there.
Charlie Sutton, Steel Magnolias here on the sports radio this Friday morning.
He's a renaissance guy, Mark. He's well-rounded.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Welcome in. All right. Hour number two here on a Friday. Thank you for hanging with us. The executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl will join us at 7:30. And by the way, Kevin Costner and Robin Hood doesn't count because you have to have an accent. He didn't have an accent because now you're the second person in the app to mention it. I don't count that one because he didn't even try an accent.
Congratulations to Jalen Tolbert, the South Alabama wide receiver, offensive player of the year in the Sun Belt. And to Jake Peavy and Philip Rivers, among others, being elected to the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. No congratulations to Taysom Hill and the Saints last night, as they were beaten by Dallas 27-17. And with more on that game, here's Mike Dettillier with M&G Sports Report. Saints pre-post covers sports in the New Orleans Baton Rouge area. Mike, I welcome you to the show. And where do the Saints go from here now to stop a five-game losing streak?
Where do they go? They play the next game next Sunday. I mean, there is no fix for it. You got injured players. You hope that they can come back. But where do they go? You're just trying to win a game at this stage. And there is no Superman coming out of the phone booth to help you at this stage. And you can see the weaknesses on this team at quarterback, at wide receiver. Are there, and man, it's tough to win when you don't have your starting tackles. That's a big shot for the Saints. So hopefully next weekend you'll have your two starting tackles and Alvin Kamara back, hopefully. But again, you may not have Deontay Harris somewhere down the line because you know the commissioner is going to come down with that 3-game suspension. He's about all you got at wide receiver.
So do you stay with Hill at quarterback?
If he's healthy, I do. If he's healthy, you got to roll with him at this stage. But I don't know about the health. And when you have that plantar fascia injury, it's difficult when you plant your foot and you try to run, and it's like a shooting pain goes through you. Yeah, you can get a shot, but that shot lasts for a short period of time, and then you start to feel it again. So, listen, he's a tough guy, physical runner. And he gives you everything he's got, but he just doesn't throw the football consistently enough to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Doesn't. Now, they got some people that have convinced themselves he is, but that's not the case. But at this stage, he might be your best option if he's healthy.
You might appreciate this, Mike. Last night, I'm sitting there with my son, watched the game. He looks at me and he says, "Is this what it was like watching the Saints when you were growing up?" I said,
"Yep."
I said, "No, son. The only difference is we were never on primetime television."
And the few times they were, it was about that bad. So,
yeah.
But people, Mark, that's another generation.
Yeah.
Of folks that don't get it. You know, me growing up, I didn't see a lot of good football from the Saints. And they got spoiled. You got spoiled rotten with all of this, with the Saints and that run with Sean and with Drew. And now you're finding out this idiotic talk of next man up doesn't work. That's great to talk in the locker room and you fling that to the media and some of them buy it. But that's no reality. To that, nobody on this team is close to Michael Thomas at wide receiver. There is no other Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead. There is no other Drew Brees out there on this team. And so you've seen the reality of football in front of your very eyes, but for a generation that grew up watching it, they don't get some of the bad football we saw. And it wasn't just for 1 year. It was like a prolonged period of time. You think about this team came into the league in 19, 67, they didn't have a winning season until 1987.
Yeah, I still have night. I mean, I still have night terrors when it comes to Flipper Anderson, man.
No, listen, that trivia question about the guy that caught more yards in a game, you know, is pretty good today. Not a lot of people would have guessed Flipper Anderson.
Talking with Mike Dettillier, who covers the Saints, Saints pre- and post-game show. Do you blame Hill for all the interceptions? A lot of times you go back and you look at the video and you see the receiver didn't make the proper cut and there wasn't communication or so forth. I know it was his first start and everything, and his numbers were pretty good if you take away the sacks and the interceptions, but you can't do that. But was it all on him?
Well, he had one that was tipped, but the other three... To be honest with you, Lee, and watching him in practice, we see it often with him. You know, he's hot and cold throwing the football. But when he misses, most of the time is because of a low throw and it's short.
Yeah.
And you see the shots that he missed, they were low and short. And he's got that trajectory. It's not a real over-the-top throw with him. And so it is what it is. But, you know, three of the four definitely were him, you know. Again, your margin of error is so small because of the people you have missing from the lineup, and you're not loaded at receiver to begin with. So you can put it on him. And he gets it that he missed some throws out there. But you got also had five drops in that game.
All right, so,
five drops by receivers in that game.
So I'm getting a lot of feedback from our listeners. They want to know about a couple of things. So I'll throw it all at you. From the quarterback standpoint, at what point do you take a look at Ian Book? Why haven't they reached out to Phillip Rivers in the interim? And moving forward, is Jameis the guy, or do they look to the draft or free agency at quarterback?
I've said this even before Drew retired. The long-term answer to your future at quarterback is not on the roster today. You're going to have to go out and trade for one, bottom line. You're going to have to go out and trade for one. You're going to have to do basically what the Rams did with Matt Stafford. You're going to have to go find you one. If it's Russell Wilson, if it's Carr out in Las Vegas, who knows? But, you know, I don't see Sean saying, okay, let's go out there and let's pick Pickett from Pittsburgh or Matt Corral from Ole Miss. Not that those guys aren't good players, but what you've accumulated on defense, I think he wants to win now, which means go out and get you a veteran quarterback.
So why not, and I don't mean to cut you off, Mike, why not go get Phillip Rivers? He's all but said he'd take the call from New Orleans, and I know it's not a long term, but at least for this year, why not go out and get somebody that you know can come in and still fling it?
I think if they would have had that in mind, they would have done it already.
Right.
Now you in December now.
Right.
So I think if you'd have done that, you'd have done it almost immediately after Jameis's knee injury. That's the way I felt about it, and that's what we've talked about on Sports Talk, that, hey, listen, when you go out and get a veteran quarterback, no matter how much he's played, there is a little adjustment period there. You got to do it quickly. And I think he didn't, you know, for whatever reason, Sean didn't rock the boat. And he thought, man, you know, I'm going to roll with Trevor Siemian, and I'm going to roll with Taysom, and that hasn't worked, put it to you that way.
Is Siemian that much further ahead than Ian Book at this point?
Apparently he is, because Ian Book, have you seen him with a helmet and shoulder pads on?
I have not, sir.
Okay, so he's watching. He's a bystander like I am, so to speak. I think Sean really believes somewhere down the line that Ian can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But I also believe he doesn't think it's this year. Either that, or he would have been your number two quarterback. When Taysom Hill, you know, is hurt, and he's only in there because of an emergency, you don't even have Ian Book active.
Hey, before I let you go, reaction to the new coach at LSU, Brian Kelly.
It wasn't a shock, but it was a surprise, because his name had not really been brought up in the discussion. Brian knows about pressure. You know, when you head coach at Notre Dame, they're not just expecting you to win. They want you to play for national championships. He knows the pressure he's walking into at LSU here. The good news is he's in fertile land when you look at the amount of talent in the state of Louisiana in comparison to Indiana. Now, Notre Dame's a national recruiting team, but, man, if you can get the, you know, let's say 12 or 13 of the top 15 players in Louisiana, you can win and win big. All I know, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron, Nick Saban before him, they all won national championships built that way. And I think he'll do a really good job here. But he's got to fix immediately the offensive line issues, and he better get him a really good quarterback mentor. Because I always think in this league that is a huge part of the puzzle to get a guy to groom young quarterbacks. It gets your team better much quicker when you can do it.
He's got to fix that accent first, though, Mike.
Well, I can't say nothing about accents. So
no, but yours is legit.
I can't comment about that. But if you round it enough, you start to parrot it.
Yeah.
My brother's not lived here in over 25 years. He doesn't have an accent anymore. He doesn't have that Cajun accent.
Well,
but if he comes down here for a little while, I can hear it in him.
Yeah, well, a little dirty secret here. When we first started having you on years and years and years ago, Lee wanted to have you on just because of your accent.
Man, listen, you ain't the only one. He ain't the only one. I've had that told to me a few other times, too.
Well, we'll continue to have you on with that accent.
Because it's natural. It's real. It's not fake. It's not manufactured.
No, listen, if it was manufactured, I got offered a job years ago. They wanted to send me to what they call a finishing school. So, I mean, a finishing school, man, I'm not even doing this full time.
Yeah.
So I ain't going to no finishing school. But, again, it's part of the world you live in. And now, you know, they're hiring a lot of people from the South, and a lot of it, they got the draw.
Yeah.
They got a little bit of the draw in them.
Mike, always good to catch up, man. Quickly, we got to run. One word answer, Alabama or Georgia Saturday?
Georgia.
And there you have it. We'll be following you on Twitter at Mike Dettelier. Thanks for the time. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all take care.
Yep.
Thank you, Mark. Notre Dame has named Marcus Freeman its head coach.
Dun, dun, dun.
Defensive coordinator replacing Brian Kelly. He'll be introduced Monday at a news conference.
Yeah, and unofficial, his reaction was when asked about Brian Kelly, he said, "I don't want your life. Put the bunny back in the box." All right, there you go. Two of the worst. That was worse than the actual guys that said the lines. All right, here we go. Scoreboard, traffic, and weather. Alec Naiman's next. Jim Nagy at 7:30. We continue here on a Friday edition right here on the sports station, WNSP.
Music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
Hey there, this is Bob Baumhauer, ex-jock, head fry cook, and I listen to 105.5 WNSP, Mobile, Alabama.
.725 Thanks for hanging with us on this Friday edition. It's the opening kickoff.
Let's talk some food. Let's talk some catering. Let's talk to Alec Naiman and find out what kind of goodies he's got for us for the holidays coming up. Alec, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, doing great, guys. How y'all doing over there?
Wonderful. What's in store now? Do we have to get our get on that phone and start ordering for the holidays, for Christmas parties
and so forth? Well, I hate to say it. We've never had such limitations. fans, I guess I should say. So, yeah, the first-come, first-served kind of thing. I've never said that to anybody before in my life. I always want to just take care of everybody. I don't care. I'll go out and catch the turkey myself if I have to. But we got limitations on things. Supply chain is affecting us. We're seeing it every day, every week. And of course, God bless, we've been busy, back to normal, over peak days, you know. So, but anyhow, listen, you know, you got the Lending Tree Bowl coming up. Get your tickets for that. We don't know who's playing yet, I don't think. But we got that. And, of course, get your Christmas orders in early this year. So at some point we will have to cut it off. And I wanted to remind everybody, I do keep a retail freezer up in the front lobby with all kind of casseroles and gumbos and lasagnas and crawfish etouffees and all that kind of stuff. So give us a call, 473-3900. Look us up on the web at namenscatering.com. And I guess we got that Alabama-Georgia game tomorrow. So you know what you got to do, okay? Y'all have a great weekend, guys, and God bless you.
You bet. Thank you, Alec. Yeah, the bowl, we'll get all that information on Sunday. All the bowls will be announced then. Of course, the college football playoff poll will be announced also, I believe, like at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Mark, some of the appers in that Philip Rivers. Keep this in mind also, and again, I don't know, I actually have a call out to Philip. I was hoping we'd get him on today to congratulate him on getting into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. But he had always said, I think he was quoted as saying, that he would only consider going to a team that had a chance to do something in the playoffs, and that certainly does not appear to be the case with the Saints.
Well, had they pulled the trigger when his name first came up, I think the playoffs were still very much part of that equation. The other thing that I think would have been hard to pass up if he were interested in getting back in the NFL is the geography of it all. I mean, he's right down the road from New Orleans. What, from where he is, he's what, 2.5-3 hours away? I mean, it wouldn't be as taxing on his family if he were to go to, Minnesota or, you know, Arizona or name, you know, not that Arizona needs a quarterback at this point, but you understand my point. I mean, he's literally right down the road. All right. The executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, going to join us next. Continue with those comments in the app at WNSP.com. We're going to talk Alabama and Georgia not only next, but also with Dan Matthews at 8 o'clock. What are the keys to an Alabama victory? And the worst Southern accent in movies of all time. Hit us up. All that coming up next right here on the Sports Station, WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
I feel like it's been a long journey for me coming from Mobile, going to Winston. I feel like it was long. My process, it started out slow being a 3-star. I feel like nobody wasn't giving me a chance, really. And I feel like once I got the attention late at the end of my the recruiting process, I feel like that's when it started to pick up, and I just gained that confidence into college. We're trying to, like, I came in with that chip on my back of being a 3-star. I just wanted to prove to people that I can play in SEC. I can play playing against big guys and all that stuff. And I feel like I did that so far, and I just want to continue my dream of playing in the Senior Bowl that I always grew up, always dreamed of playing in since I was a child. And that's where I'm going. Just keep going to the top. That's my main focus.
All right, 735. That's Roger McCreary. You know him. We've talked about him. That man is coming back to Mobile to play in the Reese's Senior Bowl, Lee Shervaney.
And we're going to talk more Reese's Senior Bowl with Jim Nagy in just a moment. We still do not have a winner on the gift card. I'm going to give one more chance now because we do want to give away those gift cards. 17 points yielded by Georgia in a game during the regular season. The Bulldogs becoming the first team since, and that's what we want to know, since what school to go through the first 12 games in a season without giving up more than 17 points. So Charlie's not on the phone all day. Give you a hint, that team is in the Big 12. So if you know the answer, give him a call, 694-1055, or else the gift card goes to Charlie. Let's talk to Jim Nagy from the Reese's Senior Bowl. You heard from Roger McCurry. Murray, Velus Jones, Saraland native, is coming to the Senior Bowl. Jalen Tolbert, the Offensive Player of the Year in the Sun Belt. Jim, welcome to the show. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great, Lee. Thanks for having me back on.
Thank you. Any other locals that are out there possibly that could join the trio that I just named? Any other possibilities?
Perhaps, Lee. But we're really excited about the three guys we have coming. You know, Velus and Jalen Tolbert and Roger McCreary. I mean, if you think about it, that's three more players. I mean, we'd have to do the research here, but I don't know if there's another city in America with more than one, and we've got three. So I think that's a pretty good haul for Mobile, Alabama for this year's Senior Bowl.
And, Jim, we've talked about it since you've gotten this job about how, you know, you don't just hand these out because of where you're from or what school you go to. You really have to earn it. So that even speaks to the volume or their talent in the talent in this area that you get three in 1 year, man. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's been great. It's been great having Kadarius Toney and the Michael P. Ryan. I mean, I know all these guys grow up, you know, dreaming about playing in the game. And, like, some of the stuff that's come out of it, what we did up at South Alabama with Jalen and his family, his mom and dad, and they brought the black and white pictures from Jalen when Jalen was a kid, and the video that Tennessee did this week with Velus and his roommate. Those are moments that are special, and it's going to be a really fun week for those guys. And I've told both of them, like, they need to lock in and focus because it's going to be a big week and there's going to be a lot of distractions for them with friends and family around. But I'm fun with it. It should be a really fun week for those guys. I know KT and LaMichael and Deshaun Davis, I mean, guys that have been in the game the last 3 years since I've been at the game. It's been an awesome week for those guys.
Jim, I'm going to get you an early start. We do our predictions in about an hour. I want to throw some games at you, some of the conference title games, and get your thoughts, keys to wins. Let's start with the SEC, where Georgia is a 6.5-point pick over Alabama. How do you see this one playing out, and what are key factors in this game?
Like I said last week with Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama's going to have to play their A-plus game and Georgia's going to have to play a B-plus, C-minus game for this to be a game. I've been on Georgia since before the season. I uncomfortably had to answer that question at a sponsor event before the season started, who the national champions would be, in a room full of Crimson Tide fans. And I mean, Georgia's just the best team in the country. There's no doubt about it. So I just don't know how you score enough points to beat this Georgia football team with that defense.
What's your opinion of Georgia's quarterback, Stetson Bennett? Because when the year began, it was supposed to be all about JT Daniels, and he's going to be the guy, and he's the one that leads them to the promised land, and they can't win without him. Yet, they're undefeated, and there's Bennett, a former walk-on, who's getting the job done.
Yeah, you got to give Stetson a lot of credit. You know, that was one of the only games I went to last fall was that Alabama game. You know, and he's grown a lot. He's grown a lot. Again, he doesn't have to do a lot when your defense is turning the ball over and you're on short fields and, you know, you're going three and out. Your defense is getting forced and three and out. But you do have to give him credit for what he's done. I mean, he's distributed the ball. He's got their playmakers the ball downfield. And he's always a threat with his legs. He's a pretty good athlete. You know, that's something he brings to the field that JT doesn't, so he gives him that element. And as a former walk-on, it's a really cool story. The guy left the program and, you know, came back. I mean, it's really a cool story. If he wins the Burlsworth Award as the top walk-on in the country, I think that would cap it off for Stetson. But, you know, more power to him. Here in a month, he could be a national championship-winning quarterback.
Michigan, Iowa. Does Michigan, their 11-point pick, by the way, do they suffer a little bit of a letdown?
I mean, it would be a natural reaction, that's for sure. I hope not. As a Michigan alum, I hope they don't. But it would be natural. But, no, Iowa's a good opponent. You know, I think Kirk Ferentz, I mean, they've been one of the best coach teams for the last 25 years with Kirk there. So you just never know. And they have talent. There's good players on that Iowa team. But I hope there's not a letdown.
Quickly, Jim, I know we're kind of previewing, but I want to review real quick. How cool was that just to see that whole thing play out right there at Michigan? You know, the snow's falling. It's classic Big Ten football there in its environment. I mean, I'm not a huge Jim Harbaugh fan for a number of reasons, but I couldn't help but root for the guy and root for that team over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a great scene, whether you're a Michigan or Ohio State fan. I mean, it was just fun watching the game with the snow going down in the big house and big rivalry game. And after the game, just the scene with all the fans, you know, storming the field. I think we saw a lot of that last weekend. Even this whole college football season, we've seen a lot of fans storming the field. But, no, it set up for a great environment, and it was great. I mean, we'd gotten our teeth kicked in for a decade, it felt like. So it was good to get that win. And, you know, 4 months ago, I was on a bus going to Jim's golf tournament with that coaching staff, and they're a bunch of young guys. They flipped that thing. So to see this staff that, you know, Jim was on the hot seat coming into the year, and he brought in basically a whole new staff, and that's tough sometimes. You know, we've seen it in Tuscaloosa. Nick's done a great job of bringing in new staffs and having them gel, but that doesn't always happen. So to see this thing come together in 1 year for Michigan, I'm just happy for that staff and those players.
One other game I want you to talk about is Houston and Cincinnati, where the Bearcats are 10.5-point pick, only because right now they're at number 4 in the college football playoff poll. How do you see this one playing out? Does Cincinnati have a problem with Houston?
I mean, they're both talented teams. I think Major Applewhite, our offensive coordinator at South Alabama, did a great job of recruiting. I mean, I think we've got 3 coming to the Senior Bowl from this year's team. We had 3 last year. That's 6 Senior Bowlers from Houston in 2 years. So they've got a bunch of good players on that team, but Cincinnati does too. Right now we have 6 Cincinnati commitments. I think there's 2 more juniors that could declare and end up in the senior. We could have 8 or 9 Cincinnati guys in the game. So that tells you how much talent they have. And if you just go back to last January, they had Georgia on the hook at the end of the game. They frankly probably should have won that football game against Georgia. So I think if Cincinnati plays their game, I'd take Cincinnati, but you know, they haven't been blowing people out this year, and Houston's a good football team.
Tonight, Western Kentucky's playing, and the only reason I bring that up, did I read where the Western Kentucky quarterback, I'm trying to remember the name, is coming here for the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, how can you forget the name, Lee? His name is Bailey Zappi. He's got one of the best names in college football.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was Zapp or Zappi. That's why I hesitated.
No, he's, you know, Bailey's had an incredible year. He might, tonight, he might break break Joe Burrow's record of 60 touchdowns in a season. So, and he's leading the country in passing yards. He's a legit NFL quarterback. I mean, this guy, he's kind of getting overshadowed by some of the Matt Corrals and some of these other guys. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how high Bailey climbs. Like he's the type of player, he's got a little gamer to him that he'll probably win the game MVP of the Senior Bowl this year. I mean, that's just the kind of player that he is. So he's been a really cool story, and he deserved it. I mean, he came from Houston Baptist last year to Western Kentucky. So if anyone's at home tonight on the couch, that will be a fun watch. Bailey's a really fun quarterback to watch throw it around.
Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, our guest here on WNSP. You follow him on Twitter at JimNagy_SB. All right, I think the days blend together now, but late last week, early this week or whatever, you said, I think you tweeted out, the dominoes are going to fall in the next 72 hours. And you know what? Boy, did they fall, and they fell quickly. Of all the coaching moves, which one, I guess, maybe surprised you, or which one you didn't, just kind of your eyes got wide when you saw the report?
I think the one that surprised me the most was Lincoln Riley, because I thought he was going to LSU. So for him to flip and go to USC, that one was a surprise. I frankly didn't know who USC was going to get.
Yeah.
From like a fit perspective in a guy fitting in the LA market, I didn't really know who was out there that they were going to go after. So I think Lincoln was a good hire there. I just thought he was going to Baton Rouge. So of all of them, I'd say that one probably surprised me the most.
Do you know much about Marcus Freeman, who gets the Notre Dame job?
Yeah, I actually scouted him. I pulled up my old scouting report on him last night just to read back through it. and he played in the 09 Senior Bowl, scouted him in the fall of 2008 at Ohio State. And I don't know him great since he's gotten into coaching, because he's really hit this ascent, you know, the last 3 or 4 years up at Cincinnati. And I haven't been up there. I haven't been up there on the road in a while. But I know Luke Fickell really well and a bunch of guys on his staff really well. I just don't know Mark as well. But I remember as a player and getting his report last night kind of reminded me of what he was at least all about coming out of college. And I'm happy for him. And that's a great opportunity for a guy that's never had a head coaching job to land the head job at Notre Dame.
You had a press conference earlier this week. Some events were announced. Do you want to fill us in?
Yeah, so, well, you just start on Tuesday. The Senior Bowl Summit is going to be an awesome event at the Sanger Theater on Tuesday, February 1st. We're going to get all these coaches that are in town for our game. It's going to be the same similar panel-style format. Kirk Herbstreit's going to host it from ESPN. And commitments, we got another one yesterday from Mel Tucker at Michigan State. So it's going to be Mel Tucker, James Franklin from Penn State, Brian Harsin at Auburn, trying to think of who else we've got. We've got some big names. You know, there's a couple more to come. And then we're going to have the NFL guys. So that's going to be a fun Tuesday. You know, and then Friday night, Portugal the Man coming. They're a big act, a big Grammy-winning act. Similar in the same kind of wheelhouse, sound-wise, vibe-wise, as what the Revivalists were a couple years ago. But if you just look at, like, Spotify subscribers a month, they're at 6 million subscribers a month, which is about three times what the Revivalists were. So they're a big act. We're really excited to get them. And then, you know, on game day, bringing the Florida A&M band to Mobile, which we haven't been able to do in a long time because they're usually doing the Battle of the Bands that week. To get them to Mobile and, you know, do our pregame and halftime and hopefully a fifth quarter event out at Hancock-Whitney should be great for all the fans. And again, just another reason to buy tickets to come see that FAMU band this year.
You know, Jim, if you're looking for a different career path, if you're just tired of the whole football thing, and I know you're not, you might want to look into, like, entertainment coordinator or something, man. You get us some. You seem to be rocking it here.
I feel like that's what I've become, Mark. I feel like that's what I've become. But, no, it's been fun. We got to grow this thing. We got to get people more than just a football game to come to Mobile, Alabama. You know, and it's been a great game for a long time. We're just trying to grow the week out and let it be like a week long type festival. So we're looking forward to this year, but we're not done. We're going to continue to grow every year and see where we can take this thing.
All right, before we let you go, Jim, I also saw that you were at Derek Brooks's charity golf event, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneer star. Who's the biggest name or coolest guy you ever were on the golf course with?
I would say Gary Sheffield, for a guy that grew up playing, you know, collecting baseball cards and whatnot, in the late 80s and early 90s as a little kid. Gary, I had a lot of Gary Sheffield cards.
And the Grizzlies at this point, they got their 150. Shot clock down to 5. It'll be an NBA record margin of victory for the Grizzlies tonight. 73 points. The highest scoring game in franchise history. 152 points.
Yeah, it was absolutely just crazy. It's 7:54, wrapping up our number two here. We'll take your phone calls at 694-1055. Hey, if you procrastinate like I do, then you need to get on it, because the deadline for open enrollment for most insurance, but specifically Medicare, the deadline is December 7th. We're in open enrollment right now. You've heard me talk a lot about it. If you're close or of the age at 65, you need to listen up. You can enroll in Medicare, or just as importantly, if you already currently have Medicare, you can change that coverage. But there are some changes that are taking place right now with Medicare plans, specifically affiliated with Mobile Infirmary. So if you have questions, and you probably do, you need to call Aiden Marks. I talked to him just a couple of days ago. He's with Medicare Insurance Advisors. He's been in the Medicare business for more than 12 years. He's an independent agent, so he works with multiple carriers, and he helps folks just like you. So, you know, if you're enrolling online, if you're sitting there at a computer screen, you don't have anybody to ask questions to, he's got the answers. You need to call him. His number is 463-0031. That's 463-0031. His office over there on Highway 98 across from Terry Thompson Chevrolet. Go see him. He can come to you even better. Or you can set up a remote meeting. There's never a fee for his services, but you need to get on it because that deadline is coming up, and he can help you out. Again, Aiden Marks, Medicare Insurance Advisors. Check out the website, medicareinsurance-advisors.com. All right, phone lines are open, 694-1055. Worst Southern accents you've ever heard, fake or otherwise? You can give us a call and let us know after Brian Kelly's the video of Brian Kelly coming out in addressing the fans at a LSU basketball game. I think it's going to be hard to beat Nick Cage in Con Air or James Vanderbeek in Varsity Blues, but you guys can give it a whirl. And, of course, the keys to the big game tomorrow, Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, and we'll be talking more about Alabama, Georgia with Dan Matthews. But, again, we'll go through our take on this game at 8:30, but I'm still As I said, I think Alabama has got to make that quarterback for Georgia feel very uncomfortable, which most teams have not. And the thing that's impressed me most about Stetson Bennett, a former walk-on, is his ability to run and run for first downs whenever they need it. You know, to me, they have a good offense. They have an elite defense. They're a good offense, maybe touching on borderline, right? But I wouldn't go that far. It's not like that Alabama offense of a year ago, but they get the job done. And when you don't give up more than 17 points a game, you're going to win. I mean, in this day and age. And they haven't really faced an elite quarterback, I don't think, like Bryce Young. So they thought they were in the Clemson game. That was not the case.
So you're rolling with the Tide on this one.
I am going to stay with
Alabama.
With
everything he just said,
yeah,
he's rolling with the Tide.
6.5-point pick. So if the game's like a 5 or a 4 or a 3, I really think they're going to stay close. I like the fact is what? Alabama's, not that it matters. I'm not saying it matters, but they've won something like 6 or 7 in a row over Georgia over the years. And at least we're not into this. Well, a former Nick Saban assistant hasn't beaten him. That was taken care of earlier this year when Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M won. But I've got to believe that the Alabama defense, I'm gonna look at what they did with Auburn, even though Auburn really didn't have a quarterback who could move around, and hope that Will Anderson and that group can contain Georgia and not let this game get out of hand. Because if it does, well, then it's going to be a long afternoon. But I think they can keep that score down and give Alabama a chance to win.
All right, let me say this before we go to break. A couple of you guys were asking us to ask Jim about other seniors, and meaning could they have a Senior Bowl tryout about getting an invite and fringe players. And then the other question was, there's an HBCU event the week before the Senior Bowl. Can we expect any of those players to be invited to the Senior Bowl? I didn't ask him because he's already made it very clear about fringe players and local players. They scout. They do all the homework. They're not waiting to see what other guys do at events prior to theirs before asking. They take a lot of pride in picking and selecting the best players. And they don't pick local players just because they're local. It frankly waters down the talent pool, and that's not what they're about, which makes when guys that are local get there that much more special. And so I just wasn't going to rehash something that we've talked about with him for a long time. I didn't mean not to ask your questions. That's just kind of where we are. All right, back after this. Stay with us. Hour number 3.
Today's music on Sports Radio